Ruth, way back in episode 13, we started talking about what we were then calling it, the behavior skills. I think we were even using the word intervention sheet. And goodness, has this gone through quite the journey of reflection and revision and editing. And we now refer to it as the Route to Response behavior sheet, because it helps us to identify the root of behaviors that we're seeing and move towards the response we want to be having. That can, like, finding different responses that will help to support the navigating of those behaviors. And our work is starting to move towards using these sheets in different formats with students and with families as well. And that has just been some really fascinating data and information and experiences to go through and add to our revisions.
The journey of developing a tool to help respond to behavior continues with more reflection and revisions. We've developed a student-facing behavior sheet and a parent-facing behavior sheet. It's exciting the way we can support students' regulation from many different angles. This is Sticky Hope. Like we talked about it again in episode 20, where we were talking about, like, hope is powered by data. And even at that point, we had really shifted how we were using it. I think what's exciting for me with this roots and response behavior sheet is it's really easy to feel like I've tried everything to help. And what this lets us do, one, it gives us some options. So have we tried everything? But it also really helps us track our consistency. Because I know for me, sometimes I feel like I've tried everything, but when I begin to really pay attention, I've maybe tried it once and my consistency isn't always what I think it is in my mind.
For sure. And another thing that I've noticed in using this with some students in my classroom is, like, when something feels hard for so long, it feels so hard that when it's starting to get better, our brain is still so focused on how hard it is or was that we might not be noticing that it is getting incrementally better. And using something to track that data is so helpful to slow down and stop your thinking, and start to change what you're focused on. And sometimes what you're focused on is, like, I am actually trying things, and gives you it that can give you momentum too to, like, keep trying things and not try once and feel like it's a failure.
So there's a link to this in the show notes, the Roots and Response behavior sheet. But in case people haven't seen it, let's just kind of share what it looks like. So there's three columns, right? And then the far left column.
In the far left column are, it says, what are you noticing? And there's a list of behaviors that you may be noticing, from things like struggling with short-term memory or remembering multi-step directions to interrupting when someone's talking or fidgeting in your seat. Some are pretty common behaviors that you'll notice, and others are, like, less typical behaviors, but are important indicators of different things. And then you move to the middle column, which is, it says, what have you tried? And it's a list of different strategies and tools that you can use, like using a timer and a visual schedule, or providing breaks in specific increments, or offering time to take space. There's a whole series of different options that you can go through and kind of give yourself as a check-in of, like, oh, I've tried a lot of things in this category, but maybe something in this category will help. And then what has proven to be, like, one of the most helpful parts for me is it talks about, like, the dates that you've tried it. So, like, to look at how long you've been trying one of these strategies or tools, and then, like, is it helpful or not helpful? have you seen it impacting the student in a positive way or not really? Like, this isn't an effective strategy for this child. That's given me a lot of information to go to people for help, right? To go and say, like, look, here are the things that I'm noticing. Here are the things that I've tried. Here's how long I've tried it for. Here are the things that help a little bit. And I could speak to, like, here's what I'm like, how I'm noticing that it's helping, or like, these ones didn't seem to impact anything. And by having that information, I felt more confident, right? Like, I had the information I needed to walk into meetings or even just conversations with these other stakeholders with confidence in, like, I've really thought about this. I have been super intentional about gathering information about this child and really trying to support them. And then it gave clarity to the questions that I was asking as well. It wasn't just like, I've tried everything, I don't know what to do with this kid. It allows me to say, like, I've tried things that work on all of their different reflexes and just a whole bunch of different things. And my brain goes, you know, towards like the nerdy science side of things, but this sheet is super accessible for a lot of people. And it just gives you a way into conversations.
Well, and that's what's beautiful about it. I believe, like, there's several things. So first of all, just like, one, we're using it in real classrooms. Like, you go to the same room every day with the same kids and like, you're trying it out. So it's not like something that's just been invented by somebody who used to be in the classroom, but isn't anymore. It's used. And then we've given it to some other people who have been trying it out and telling us what they think about it. So when I love that, right? And it's research-based. So you do know a lot about neuroscience. You and I both do. And we really have pushed on that. Like, is this true? That piece of it. So I think both of those things are powerful. And the thing that I know for me, the way that it's really helped shift my thinking or what I'm thinking about now is just like, how do we help teachers in the moment in their classrooms, right? So we all have fabulous like character ed programs happening that when you look at the list, like some of them, it'll rub up against those things. And so this isn't like a list of all these things to teach ahead of time, although you probably are in whatever character ed program you have. And it's also not like, it's not for something like, you can take it for help outside of your room, but it really is helping right there in the moment. And I love that because I'm not sure how many tools we have for in the moment, right? Like, yeah. And then it's just exciting as we've been writing it in the book, like there's a couple other than frameworks that it's really led us into that aren't quite ready to share yet, but are powerful for that right there in the moment. What do I do with a student? And so I just think this roots and response behavior sheet is truly a game changer for us when we're like, I've just tried everything. Like, yeah. What am I doing next? And even like, so you've had it for some students where you genuinely have tried everything for a consistent amount of time. Like, what do I do next? Right. And I've been able to have some really great conversations with other educators and specialists, but you've also taken it to the kids.
Yeah. So that is the most recent thing that I did. So I'm in kindergarten, right? And they were not going to be able to access, you know, the fancy schmancy language of some neuroscience stuff that I love to geek out about. But so I took everything and made it into a picture sort. And, you know, I'm bringing these to my kids with some of the trickiest behaviors in my room. And I was like, not super sure how this was going to go. And yet again, they shocked me. And so I have this little girl, Whitney, who, you know, doesn't have, it's not big disruptive behavior. She's not ever aggressive or malicious or dangerous, but boy, does she have a lot to say, and it's going to be said right now. And she is moving and grooving, and things are in her mouth and out of her mouth, and she is all over the place. And I, you know, over 100 days into school, was still feeling like I don't know how to help her engage in a pro-social way. And I sat down and did this sort with her after I had done the teacher facing one. Like I had filled out the roots to response sheet for her, like from my own perspective. And then I handed her the student facing one. And I even went as far as to, like, I cut out all of the pictures for her because we were not going to take that time, because like it would have taken us days to complete. And I went through each picture and I stayed super neutral, but I just asked her, like, does this help your brain? Yes or no? And she would then glue it down to yes or no. And her answers aligned exactly to what I was noticing. And she was like, split second decision. Like, yep, my brain has a hard time with that. Nope, my brain doesn't struggle with that. Yep, my brain it was fascinating and incredible to see the level of metacognition this child had about her own brain, right? I did not expect her to know so much about her own brain. And even more so, we flipped it over and we talked about what helps her and what doesn't help her. I started showing her things that help, and she like was looking at the pictures in front of her, like all of the options. And she was like, but Mrs. Burke, what if other things help me? And I was like, tell me more. And she starts listing like 7 or 8 other things. She was like, humming really helps me. Tapping my leg really helps me. And it was really interesting to see that she was already like very quickly able to identify what is helpful for her brain and what is like absolutely not. And it was interesting because she only put 2 things in the doesn't help me category. And the first thing I think was like a visual schedule, a picture schedule. And I was like, it doesn't help you to know what's coming and like to be able to look at it. And she was like, well, I just felt bad that there wasn't anything on that side. It really does help me to have a visual schedule, but I like that side was lonely. And I was like, okay, like you're still 5. And that's adorable. But the second thing she put there was repetition. Hearing things more than once, like repeating directions. And I was like, Mackenzie, I have to repeat things for you all the time. And she was like, Mrs. Burke, it doesn't help me. My brain has to go back. And I was like, tell me what you mean. And she said, my brain has to think through something before I do it. And so I processed through the conversation with her, and I've come to understand that when I tell her to go do something, like go get your folder, she has to sit there and think about like, okay, I'm going to walk to this part of the room. I'm going to find the folder that has my name on it. I'm going to pick it up and I'm going to whatever, go back to the rug. And if I don't see her moving, I'm probably like, you need to go get your folder. Why aren't you going to get your folder? Go. And like in my brain, it's like, go get your folder, man. Like, why aren't you getting your folder? And what she explained to me was every time I say that, her brain has to start the whole thinking process over again. And I'm just perpetuating how long this is going to take. I'm just making it harder for her. And so once I had that information, I tested it. I was like, is that really something that is going to help her or not? And she was right. She knew of course she knew, right? Like it's her brain. Mm-hmm. But you don't expect a 5-year-old to like have the ability to verbalize what's happening in their brain in a way that she so clearly did, right? Mm-hmm. Here's a kid that like can't even walk in a line without driving everyone around her nuts. But she's explaining to me on a metacognitive level what's happening in her brain and what's helping and not. Like, clearly I have to do more to help this child. And she's telling me how to do that. And it was just this beautiful moment for us.
It was. And we're learning so much from Whitney. So as we're looking at that roots and response behavior sheet, and you're like, I've got to make this student facing. I need to see what kids are saying. How helpful that was. And then we were like, well, you know, so if we're doing this work here at school and it's helpful, what would that look like if we're talking to parents about it? And so the very first thing we were like when we looked at, and when you look at it, like you can get it, we'll put a link to it in the show notes. When you look at it, it's technical, like it's teacher speak, right? And so we're like, we cannot give this to a parent. And so we did this thing that almost felt like cheating, right?
Yeah, it did.
Do you want to share what we did?
So we were, you and I were on Zoom, and we were like, we really need to turn this to student or to parent facing, but how are we going to take the time? And we want it to mean the same thing, but we want like it to be honoring the reading level of families. We want it to be honoring of their life experiences. And so all of a sudden I was talking to you and you were like, look what I just did. And you copy and pasted the teacher facing list and you put it into AI and told it to put it at like an eighth grade reading level for a family to understand. And in 3 seconds, or not even, we had a list. And as terrifying as that can be, AI is a tool that can be used well, is also something that scares me, like about how simple everything can be and how quickly it moves. It was so helpful in creating a valid list, right? And of course, like we went through and checked it and made sure everything made sense. And it did. It aligned and everything fit. And we like maybe changed a couple of words to align to how we would say something. But one, that was like a really helpful tool. And now we have this parent facing tool that I was then able to use.
Yeah. So I love it. You then have a meeting with Whitney's mom, and she's like teary eyed. Right? Because she's seen these same things in Whitney at home. And then to be able to see, like, Whitney's able to identify, this is how my brain's working and this is what's helping me. And I mean, like, we couldn't have planned it because Whitney's mom was like, is there something I can do at home? Right? And you're like, well, as a matter of fact, you know, so we have this roots and response behavior sheet that's parent facing. And so you give it to her. And really what unfolded was a pretty incredible conversation.
It was amazing to see. So I asked Whitney's mom if she would be willing to fill out the sheet. And she just looked at me and she said, Mrs. Burke, I was really afraid for Whitney to come to school because I know she's not easy. And instead of seeing her as a kid who's really hard to have in class, you see her as a kid you have to work harder to help, and you choose to do that work. And she said, like, you can just see with all of the, like, and she was like pointing to like my roots to response sheet and Whitney's. And then she like held hers. She was like, you're putting so much intentional time into helping my child feel seen and to understanding my child. And she thanked me for that. And then,
so like, Becca, I just want to stop us right here, right? Because it has taken time. But I think what we're finding is with this tool, these tools, the root and response behavior sheet, like it's taken us time to figure it out. But now, like, you've used it with Rex. Yeah. And like now it's just right here and it's not taking more time, right? Like,
yeah, it's
that's what's so exciting to me about this. And I can't wait for more and more people to use it in their rooms because it's research-based. It's real. It's what we're using. We're following kids. It's not like some like little hack to get around the behavior, but it's like, this is actually going to help. And now we can approach it from school, from the child, from home, all together. And so it is so exciting, right? Like, teachers or parents are still going to be like, oh, you're spending so much time with my kid. And we're like, I just ran it on the printer. You're like, we're not going to say that. What we're thinking about for it.
And it's been super useful, right? I was able to take all three of those. Like, first of all, it was like super exciting to me that they aligned, right? That we were seeing the same behaviors. And like, from everybody's perspective, these are the things that are hard. These are the things that help. And that, like, mom was seeing things that help that I hadn't tried yet for Whitney. And Whitney was able to say, like, here's why this doesn't help me and how you can help me. And like, so we were able to work together using that. And for Whitney, the next step was an IEP meeting where we were able to use this information to advocate for appropriate supports for her. And not every kid, right? That's not an every kid situation. That's not how I've used it for every kid that I've used it with. But sometimes it's going to get there and you're going to have this information that helps you feel confident in what you're talking about, right? And sometimes it can be intimidating to go into these conversations, even with a parent, and say, like, here's what's really hard for me, and here are the things that I've tried, and I don't really know what else to do. Instead, you can show the parent, like, look at all of the things that I've tried, and it's not a super lot of work for you because we've already done that work, right? And so you print that work and we hand it to the families and say, like, look at all of the things that have helped. What else helps? What do you notice? And let's work together and collaborate to support your child. And it's just, it's so exciting. And it, like, I just, the tears in her eyes, like, as she processed all of the wonderful things about Whitney, as we're navigating some really hard things with Whitney, it was just super honoring of the incredible child she is.
So we're just going to end with just recently, last week, Whitney was sitting on the carpet, right? Doing some breathing. Just tell us what happened, because it was so exciting.
I know. She, I have been working all year to help Whitney learn different regulation strategies. And I look over and Whitney is like looking down at her hand during a read aloud and she's tracing her fingers. And I'm watching her and she's doing a finger breathing is what they call it, a breathing strategy. And I'm like confused because it's like the middle of a book and I didn't really understand. So after I finished reading, I was like, Whitney, like, what are you doing? She was like, well, I felt frustrated. And she like named her feeling, why she felt it. And she's like, so I'm doing some breathing to help my brain. And I was like, girl, like, it might have taken us 134 days of school, but you were listening, right? Mm-hmm. And now you know how to use this strategy effectively and independently. And I think I said something like, and you chose not to distract all of your friends and you just did this breathing strategy. And she was like, mm-hmm. It was just normal.
Yeah. And it was just a reminder to us that, yes, we feel like we've tried everything, but when we're able to truly note this is making a difference, even if it's just a small, teeny tiny difference, then when we stay consistent, we're able then to really see some bigger changes, which is exciting. But that's the work of tricky behaviors, is we're not going to fix it overnight. And anybody who says that we can, we're pretty apprehensive of, because this behavior, you know, it just isn't fixed overnight, continually. And by approaching it this way, it's really giving a student strategies they can use again and again and again, and over time, be able to regulate in really healthy ways.
Are you feeling stuck with a student's behavior, even after trying everything you can think of? We've been there too. That's why we created the Route to Response Behavior Sheet, a simple research-based tool to help you understand what's behind the behavior and what might help. You're already doing so much. It's not about doing more. It's about doing what works. Grab yours at stickyhope.com. You've got this, and we've got you.